Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and welcome once again to a few moments of fellowship together around the precious Word of the Eternal God. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to be able to share with you the Word of God once again as we're considering and thinking about the condition that the human race is in and how we became sinners, how we were separated from God, where it all began. We're simply laying a foundation to help us to understand why man needs a Savior, why man is separated from God, why man is in sin, where death came from. All of these things are basic truths to our understanding of the blessings that come through a person believing in Jesus Christ, accepting the Lord Jesus as Savior, being born into the family of God, becoming a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. And the basic understanding of man being a Trinity, a spirit, a soul, and of course the body, and how that he was created in the likeness and image of God, as God is triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're told over in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, where the Lord Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples to go into all the world and to preach this good news of the gospel to every individual. And those who believe, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Those terms are synonymous. And they're similar. They mean the same. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, they both mean the same deity of the triune God that is manifested in the Spirit of God. For we're told in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work of salvation. But in this passage of Scripture, it says that one is to be baptized in the name. And the word name is singular. It doesn't say in the names, because our God is one. And he's manifested and revealed to man as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And thus we see that's God's name. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the name of God. And that's why that word name here is singular and not plural, because our God is one. And thus God created man as one being, as we've read before and studied before in 2 Thessalonians, about man being a spirit, soul, and body, and thus created in the likeness and image of God. We're one, and yet there's spirit, soul, and body that makes up the one man. And thus we've discussed how that God puts the emphasis on the inner man, the spiritual part of man, as we saw in 1 Samuel 16:7. But man puts the emphasis on the body. This is something we all well know, that man puts the emphasis on the physical, and even believers have a tendency to put the emphasis on the physical and on the body, and to talk about the healing of the body, not realizing that the spiritual part of man is far more important than just the physical part, because this physical body is just like an earth suit that we live in. Like our spacemen who go out into space, they have to have a space suit in order to live outside of the capsule in space. And so we who walk here upon this earth have a earth suit, our physical body, I call it an earth suit, a physical body that we live in, but the true person lives inside the body. And we're going to leave the body at death because the wages of sin is death. Now, I want to, before we go further, to talk to you about a contradiction. In our few previous broadcasts, we were talking about how that people who do not know the Lord, people who are unbelievers, say that the Bible is filled with contradictions. And so I want to show you one of those contradictions that man talks about and explain to you how that it is not a contradiction at all. And that verse would be Genesis chapter 2. And verse 17, where God was speaking to Adam, and he said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now you notice God said, "In the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." But here in Genesis chapter 3, we read about Adam and Eve yielding to the temptation, giving in to sin, partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to eat of. And then they tried to hide from God because their eyes were opened, that is, their understanding of right and wrong, verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to try to cover their nakedness. Previously, they'd been in a state of innocence, like a little baby or a little infant that begins to grow and yet does not know right from wrong and loves to run around without a diaper on. Because they're innocent and they don't know right from wrong, and so they have to be taught. Well, Adam and Eve were in that state of innocence till they disobeyed God and took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then their understanding was opened, and they realized what was right and what was wrong, and they had sinned against Almighty God, had broken His command. And thus we read in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. As kids, we had a game called hide and seek. We'd hide and someone would be it, and we'd go out searching for everybody that had hidden and try to catch them before they could get to the home base that was the starting point. Well, here we see the first hide-and-seek beginning as man hides from God and God begins to seek and look for man. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And so Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so God said to Adam, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And Adam doesn't admit what he has done, but he points a finger to his wife. And he says, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me." You see, he's putting the blame on Eve, and he's putting the blame on God for giving Eve to him. And so we see how that sin begins to impact people's lives. And here we see Adam blaming other people for his own sin and for his own wrongdoing. And how many times you and I have done the very same thing, blaming other people for the things that we did because they made me do it, or they tempted me to do it, or they led me into doing it, and it's not my fault. They were the ones that brought it about. Well, that's the attitude that we see here as Adam blames Eve. "It was the woman who gave to whom thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now we learn from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, that this one that's called the serpent was actually Satan using this beautiful creature to tempt Adam, Eve, and to deceive her, and to draw Adam and Eve into sin. And thus we see the curse that's placed upon the serpent. In the Garden of Eden, it didn't crawl upon its belly like it does today. A snake there didn't look like it does now. It was a beautiful creature. But now, that was the curse that was placed upon it. And he goes on to say in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And it's a prophecy concerning the seed of the woman, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The man has the seed, the woman has the egg. But here we see that this is a prophecy concerning the birth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and that Satan would bruise its heel there on the cross, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus. His earthly walk was stopped there on the cross, and the death came about. He died in your place and in my place as our substitute for our sin, because we were born with an Adamic nature, the nature of Adam and Eve. All of his children began to be born separated from God and in sin. And so he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And thus we see that man was made to be the head of the home. Not that man's any superior or any better than the woman or than the wife, but someone has to be the leader or else there will be chaos. And so God gave man that responsibility. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring to thee. And next time we'll get to the fulfillment of that contradiction. Till then, goodbye.